the wonderful name of Jesus, the one who is going to come again, and the one we should long for to see and look for. Yeah, good to be here with you this morning. It's been a few years since we made our pilgrimage out here. But I was hoping we could come here and I could just drink it in, you know, have some local pastors preaching, and I could sit back and listen. But every congregation loves to hear a minister come from a different area, whatever, and hear the Word of God. So with the Lord's help, we want to get into the Word this morning. And as we sang about creation already this morning, there are different things that the Lord created that we can learn from. And the title of my message this morning is A Lesson from the Birds. And I'm sure like at home, we have a cherry tree at home, and it is loaded. And they're getting nice and soon be ready to be picked by something. But I can guarantee you one thing, there won't be a cherry in sight when I come home. It's just how it is at our place. And so this morning, there are 8 things that we want to learn from the birds. And I won't specifically pick on a certain bird, you know, to give it so it's no racial discrimination. But some birds are worse than others. But it seems when there are birds in a cherry tree, they sort of unite and they get along well. The number one thing, I have 8 things that start with D that we can learn from this morning. And the number in the summertime, when the cherries become ripe, a lot of times it's getting a little drier around there, and the drier it is without rain for a while, the more birds want to flock to the cherry tree, because it's juicy. There's some water there, and you can have the squirrels coming for cherries, whatever. There's a little bit of juice there that they are interested in devouring. And this morning I realized we're not living in a desert, as it were. Like in many countries, they have dry areas year-round and so forth. But we're spiritually living in a desert in this world. It says in Amos 8, 16, it says, Amos 8, verse 11. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." And this morning, dear people, we are living in a time like that. When I see the local Mennonite church being sold, you know, what I call the liberal Mennonite church being sold because you don't have people. Another local Mennonite church where they haven't had baptism for 15 years. That church is going to close too. You can count on it. We're living in a desert this morning, whether you realize it or not. I realize I drive here at your countryside here, and the crops are looking well and all of these things. But spiritually, we are living in a world that is a desert. And like the songwriter said, this world is not my home. You know, and I trust that is your feeling this morning too. This morning, it's not the lack of Bibles. We can have Bibles this morning. Yes, we can if we want them. We can have church buildings to worship in, and more they're coming for sale all over. But the other week, when our cherries were turning ripe, guess what? As the rains were less, dried up, it was harder to find fish worms, whatever they all love to find. The birds and the squirrels, they came to seek liquid from our local cherry tree. And I had to think of the children of Israel when they were meandering around the desert for 40 years. Yes, they always received enough manna. They always received enough water. Yes, they did. Nobody died from thirst. But they weren't satisfied with what they had in the desert. And this morning I ask the question to you. Are you satisfied with the spiritual manna that you can still have in a world that is deteriorating very rapidly? Are you satisfied with the Word? Can you live on the Word of God this morning in a world that is a desert all around? Or are you starting to complain too? You know, year after year went by for those people, and they forgot the awesomeness of God who was supplying the needs for them in the hour they were living. Time after time, they were reminded of severe consequences from God. People were killed by the thousands because they forgot the holiness and the awesomeness of God. And once we forget God, we are living in the desert. And once we're living in the desert of this world, the human nature is to search whatever brings a little bit of juice or whatever to your life. Whatever perks you up, as it were, you want to grab a hold of the things that are out there. Are we any different than the children of Israel were? You know, when our personal walk with God diminishes this morning, when that first love fades away from what we have been saved from, then we're going to latch on to the things of the desert to try to survive on, as it were. In Ephesians chapter 2, a few verses there. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 5. It says here in verses chapter 2, 1 to 5. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The scripture says here, you were that. I was that. You were that too. This is how you walked. You were looking for the things in the desert to carry you through, and it wasn't satisfying. Let's read on. Among whom also we all had our conversation. This conversation means our walk of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We all have that nature still from Adam of old. But it says in verse 4, but, I like that word there, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now get this, we were dead in sins, we were walking the way in the desert, as it were, stumbling around, trying to grab a hold of whatever we could out there for survival, and we could find life through Jesus Christ. Even when we were dead in sins, he already loved us and paid the price on Calvary so that you and I could be redeemed this morning. We were quickened. We were made alive with Christ. And it's by grace that you're saved. There is no other way this morning than by grace to be saved. In time past, we all had our walk in the desert. And we were natives of the desert, as it were. Once that we're looking, once that we're desiring for the forbidden things out there, for the cherry trees, as it were. If my personal life in Christ this morning becomes dull, we usually can blame it on the preacher, we can blame it on the congregation, we can blame it on anything, really. You know, it's a boring life. But friends, this morning, if your life is boring, it's because, not that God has drifted away from you, but you have drifted away from God. This morning, do you love the Word of God? Are you excited to get into the Word of God? Because here in his life, and it'll keep you going, that you don't long for the things of the desert out there. You don't long for the cherry trees that aren't yours. Yeah. So we think we can find something in the desert to occupy us with. For some it may be work, for others it may be pleasure. There may be a thousand and one things out there that you want to seek this morning if you're not a child of God, to carry you through, as it were. If a life in Christ doesn't satisfy you, you will look for the cherry trees to fulfill that void this morning. And then we come to number two, which is discontentment. You know, as the birds fly into this cherry tree, they don't look at the consequences, but they call it liberty. Yes, they do. When people are not satisfied with a humble walk with God, the forbidden is called liberty. And that's what is going on in a lot of churches of our denominations of our day. People want liberty without Christ, and friends, you'll never find it this morning. There's no liberty without having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then the desert can go by and you're drinking at the fountain that will give you life from day to day. It may not be that overflowing at times, but you can have life. Discontentment. You know, that's what's happening. You know, as the nations don't take a stand on biblical morals anymore, the denominations follow right along. And it has a tendency to creep into all of our denominations this morning, wherever we go to church with. It's easier to, because I remember the days when the malls were closed on Sunday. I remember the days when you didn't have any semi-trucks on the road. And that was easier to say no to those things because they were already closed, because the world thought it should be closed. All those things are far gone, and a lot of worse things are happening too. Where does the church follow? Because they cannot stand on their own tree, on their own feet many times. You know, when the doctrine of God's word is not taught and believed, we need more cherry trees. Yes, we do. In Galatians 1, 5:1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage." If you have been made free this morning, stand therein, enjoy the freedom that knows when a person has his sins forgiven and set free. Don't go again into the desert and try to look for those cherry trees that aren't yours to begin with. The possibility is ever present for whoever this morning to find discontentment with your walk with God. And then it is not God's fault. It is because you're looking back to Egypt. You're looking back to the leeks and the garlics. And in this case, it's the cherry trees. You long for something that you don't have. And then we come to number three this morning. And it's deception. You know, those when we look at those cherry trees, there's a... 2-3 days before it's starting to turn color, they look nice, you almost can taste them, but they wouldn't be good, you're a little sour. They look red, they look beautiful, but I don't know how birds communicate, but you could kill a few of them. They come early for cherries, you know. They want them before you and I get them. Yes, they do. They know exactly when to come. They'll tell all their buddies and their Freundschaft all over, "Come, there's a cherry tree at the Brubacher's." You know, never saw that many birds all year. You know, but that day or few days there, they'll come. In Galatians 6, verse 7, it says this. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. "Let him that is taught in the word..." "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In other words, when the birds look at that cherry tree, they're going to go for it. The scripture says, don't be deceived by what you find in the desert. Don't be deceived by all the things you can have here in, what's the town's name here, I forgot? Brooks, yes. Don't be deceived what flows through the brooks. I guess there's no river here, maybe, but yes. Don't be deceived. There's a lot of things out here that is desert in Brooks, and all the way from here to back home and further around the world. Don't be deceived, because in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, it has this to say. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and the list goes on to envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, that settles it. The scripture is very clear. A person that does these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you sow to these things, it says you will reap corruption. Sin, the flashing lights of the liquor places and anything else out there, the allurements on the billboards this morning, and we could go on, the smoking and everything else that goes with it. The allurement on the beaches this morning, and may I say mixed bathing. That shouldn't be one's name to be named among us. And of course, the immodest dress and the lack of dress, friends. The immodesty in plain clothes. We think, well, that doesn't hit us, does it? Yes, it does. We can have our Mennonite Hollywood just like anybody else. Sure we can. You try to fit in because the church says you have to, but your heart is not there. And so you have to put all the extra buttons on here or there, whatever, to draw attention to yourself, ladies. Men, we have our own problems. Sure we do. This all produces a non-commitment to a lifetime marriage partner, the incest, and all the immoral deeds that follow. We're living in a desert, dear people, this morning. In Proverbs 14, verse 9, it says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Proverbs 13, 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who are you walking with this morning? Who are your buddies? You know, like the saying goes, the birds of a kind flock together, you know. Who are you flocking with this morning? For here, the local birds in our area, they all flock together. You can have a lot of different brands coming together when the cherries are almost ripe. And that's how it is in the world. The world gets along with each other once we're dining in the same meal. Just like the birds, they're flocking together. It must be all okay. The others do it. Proverbs also writes, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. In other words, when God feeds you in the desert, in the place where you're living in this world, it is safer than a forbidden cherry tree. Yeah. Going on to number 4, delicious. Once you taste the fruit, it is delicious. The birds were satisfied when they came into our tree there, but it was such a short time, it was so short-lived, only a moment, and you need another cherry. We go to Revelations chapter 5. Revelations chapter 5, Revelations chapter 18 it shall be. Chapter 18, verses 5 to 8. And upon her, this is talking about I'm in 17 yet. We'll get there yet. Verse 5 in chapter 18, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. This is talking about a future event that has not happened yet. And it says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. Here we see reaping and sowing is coming into effect. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lift deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned and with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. You know, when that great city of Babylon, likely the Catholic Church, and it says, and the wrath of God and the fire is poured out upon her, it says she had glorified herself all these years. And she said, and it says here, she lived deliciously. She was enjoying a cherry tree in every corner of the street, as it were. She lived deliciously. I like that term here. It means she had it made. No. She had a cherry tree in every backyard, likely. Literally means she lived in luxury. When she wanted cherries, she could go and get them anytime and anywhere. The consequences for that kind of a living this morning is death, it is mourning, it is sorrow, it is famine, and finally, it's burning eternally. For years, the craze has been, years ago, and a lot of you remember that they had stickers on cars, no fear. They had T-shirts of no fear, and a lot of other things pertaining to that too. I went and shot a bird that came into our cherry tree, and I hung it in on a branch there so that its comrades would take note, this is off limits, you know. It was to no avail. They flew on the same branch and ate more cherries. So what? They had no fear. No fear. And what a great contrast it is from that verse which says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Cherries are good. I love them. When rightfully picked and paid for. Outside of that, it is thievery. You know. It is. You know, I could shout at those birds, and I could clap my hands at those birds, and they would think this is just another charismatic Mennonite preacher. They didn't fly away. But throughout the rest of the year, if I would do that, they'd zoom off. But here we have a cherry tree in the middle of the desert, as it were, and we're going to enjoy it to the fullest. Yeah, not afraid of anything. And that's really the time and season that we're in life, we would say. Number five, descend. You know, there's a downward path when you go away from God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 to 10, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in where? In the world, in the desert, wherever you're living in, through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith daily virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. If you do these things, you don't need to steal cherries off a tree. Whatever else goes with it. A downward path. In verse 4, it says here, have you escaped the corruption that is in the desert in your local town here? in Canada, in the world. Have you escaped that this morning? Are you living above the circumstances that the world wants to offer you? Are you giving all to faith this morning, to knowledge and etc.? And if not, it says in verse 9 what you are. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and you have forgotten that you were purged from the old sins. And you're going back to the way of life that you loved before you became a child of God. You love the cherry trees that you see all around. You have forgotten that you were cleansed, and you're starting to be satisfied with the cherry trees all around you. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Make sure, you know, of the calling that you have, and you shall never fall. If you're not diligent in living by the word of God this morning, we will fall. We will fall. You know, I could shoot at those birds, and I'm not the greatest marksman, but if I missed, they would just jump to another branch. They wouldn't even fly out of the tree. It's a close call. I survived. So we'll go on. Next branch. You know, it's very exciting to be in the cherry tree. It's very good stuff to eat. It reminds you this morning of Isaiah 22, at the time we're living in, and it said, and behold, joy and gladness, slaying the oxen, killing the sheep, eating the flesh, and drinking the wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And that is what is going on all around us, you know. The cherries are ripe, as it were. Let's indulge. Let's have the barbecue going with all the drinks. The party's on, as it were, when we forget that today Jesus Christ could come again. He could come again today. Do you believe that? The scripture says we're living in end times, and he is coming. I'll go on to say it'll be coming very soon. We don't set dates. I just go by the scripture. That's good enough for me. These birds are not moved by circumstances, and so the world isn't moved by circumstances anymore. I know when the terrorists hit New York City in 9/11. I know when the terrorists hit here in October 7 in Israel, you know. The world is say, what's going on? The world say, these people act far crueler than any animals did. How can you cook a live baby in your oven? I mean, this is so horrendous. I see, demonic to the fullest, giving totally over to Satan, and that's all he can do, finally. We see all these things happening, the adultery, the gender change, the list goes on, and we walk down the street and we see the drunkard on the street, and we may think, oh, surely he'll go to heaven when we compare sins. But friends, the sins I've read off there, you can do all those things. Some are milder than others in our terminology. The Bible says if you do them, you're hell-bound. Unless by the grace of God, you come to know Jesus Christ. The birds fall from that tree, and it seems as long as it isn't me, we'll keep on eating. We'll keep on drinking, and just like in Noah's time, it says they did all this. They liked to help Noah build the ark, but they laughed. This thing in the middle of nowhere? No. To think there's water going to be there to lift this thing? No. What a joke. What a joke it was. Never rained before. You know, these birds, it's like in a war zone. You become hard-hearted, and that's how come we still have the results from First and Second World War from the oncoming generations. And I'm not saying that is generational sin, but if these people passed on the hardness of the heart that they had the drinking and everything that went with it in the war, a lot of those children have a tough time to find Jesus Christ. Especially if the fathers become cruel and mean and everything else. Where is there a father, you know? But there's a father this morning in heaven. And he paid it all for you and me. And hallelujah for that. You know? How about us when we see the lost heading towards eternity? Destruction is looming up ahead. We say the sign is there, the bridge is out. Oh, well, at least I know there's a detour through Jesus Christ to glory. But friends, if that's our attitude this morning, then we better get right with God. If we see the bridge is out, you should be out there with your flashlight, whatever, in the middle of the night and stop everybody. Do we have compassion for the lost among us or in society? And what are we doing about it, you know, to help these people all around us, you know? We can have different denominations of different projects they're doing, and praise God for that. Is there love in our hearts this morning that this could be, that just like Jesus in that Bible, we had it this morning. Sunday school, you call it. Yeah, my mind is slipping a bit. But, you know, Jesus, he had a compassion on that blind person. Yeah, he did. That's why he came to this world for. He didn't come for the ones that weren't sick. He came for the ones that were sick, blind, whatever. And that should be our heartbeat, too, this morning, for lost souls. We were at the coming out here. We were in a motel one morning. And the one behind the counter, he was very nice, friendly, very friendly. And he said, "You create vipes in me." Well, whatever a vipe is. But what he was trying to say in his own terminology and maybe his own religion, that we're special to him, we're different to him. And friends, it's not because of me, but it's because of the Holy Spirit. And really, we were sitting in our van there the other night at a gas service station, and a man walked out, and we both said, he's different. He had a neat haircut, and just, he had his work clothes on. But there's something within, I don't call it a vibe, I call it the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have been afraid to go up to him and ask, "Are you a Christian?" And I would have already known the answer. Just his character as he walked out of there. That's what the Lord wants to see in all of us, dear people, this morning. Number 6, we come to despair. What do we do when the cherries get all eaten? I know birds don't think like we do this morning. I don't know if they think at all. But let's say, for an example, when a prisoner leaves the prison, when he's been in for years, it's oftentimes the first number of weeks that he'll commit suicide because he can't handle it in the public. We would say that's liberty. But, you know, there's no more liberty out here than in prison this morning if you don't have Jesus Christ. There isn't. People are sitting in prison in a church this morning throughout North America. Because they have to go. And friends, if you have to go this morning, then you're in prison. You want to go. That should be our main desire, looking for the Lord's Day again to come together and fellowship with the saints. Not just by Zoom, you know, looking at this person preaching at home or whatever. No, no, no. That's not fellowship. I need each other. I drive people, and I said, as much as we disagree with each other, we still need each other. We all need each other. That's fellowship. We can learn from each other. You know, how come does the public want assisted dying in Canada? They're promoting it. The government allows it. Nice name for sin is MAID, medical assistance in dying. There's a local Mennonite man in our church where they hadn't baptisms for years, which I mentioned before. He was a relative to my mother-in-law. And in this past half year, he got the maid in to assist him in dying. Friends, that's suicide this morning. And according to my good book, it's wrong. It's wrong. No matter if the government allows it or wants it. In fact, a lot of time they want it. That way they don't have to pay old age pension. You know, they're smart. But friends, it's wrong and it's sin. Yes, it is. This is happening in Mennonite churches. How come do people promote euthanasia? It is because they know not God and neither have Jesus Christ as their Savior. How come can in the U.S. since 1976, the Roe versus Wade deal, over 60 million and more by now, abortions. People, that is murder. And if we murder innocent lives, and the young will also murder old lives when they're old. Why wouldn't they? What's the difference in murder? And to think every person, nurse and a doctor, father and a mother, along with that abortion, have to give an account someday to God, and they'll be eternally in hell unless they repent. There's repentance. Yes, there is. But otherwise, look at the people in the U.S. and Canada alone, the worldwide. That are going to give an account someday. The cherries are getting less and less, and it is harder to get to the top of a tree where the best ones are. As you get older, you have more aches and pains. And then we go to the words of Job. In Job 27, it says here, verses 8 and 9, he has a few questions. In verse 8, it says, "For what is our hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God hath taken away his soul?" He asks a very valid question. So what is our hope this morning? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call on God? Very valid questions. The birds may be sitting in the choicest cherry tree around, and these are always sweet cherries. You know, they go for that the first, just like I do too. But when the soul is called away from the body, what have they gone? What have they gained? And birds have no souls. Get me clear on that. But does God hear the cry of the ungodly prayer when he is in trouble? No. God does not hear the ungodly cry unless he wants to repent. Without repentance, there is no way to Jesus Christ this morning. There is no hope, but there is hope when people repent in whatever condition they find themselves in. If it's for salvation that they cry to God for, yes. But if it's just to consume more cherries, no. There's a big difference. Why do so many people go to medications and drugs when the pressures of life come? You know, it is because we do not want to suffer with Christ in the desert we're living in. You know, we have more counseling centers going up all over, and I'm not saying counseling is all wrong this morning, but may I tell you this? A lot of things could be taken care of by old-fashioned repentance. Just saying sorry, just going to your father and mother and saying sorry, what I did, the money I spend on to you, whatever it may be. Instead of taking more pills and whatever else to come away from it, it doesn't solve it. Good old-fashioned repentance, call it as it is. Say, I'm the bad boy. Just like the prodigal son. Oh my. Yes, a Christian will suffer. We want the cherry trees that are loaded, and that is not living in reality, friends. That's not the Christian life. We go on to number 7. It talks here of drunkenness. You know, when I watched these birds, I marveled at their careless, fearless, haughty expressions. It seems they became infatuated with the moment, and all the signs of doom and gloom were everywhere, dead birds lying on the ground. But like a drunkard, to see the birds and to see the cherries, he will do anything to get another drink. It is like an ox that is led to the slaughter, like the scripture says. He may lose his job, he may break up the marriage, he will lose his friends, and without repentance, lose the eternal friend, Jesus Christ, for all eternity, because he loved cherries more than the Word of God. We see the results all around us of strong drink, and with that, drugs. Just the other week, they say the drugs are doing just as much harm now as alcohol has been over the years. No surprise. But you know, what is just as bad as those two is overeating. You know, I'm appalled at sometimes in these, I go into, you like to say, I can see it. I mean, I go into these buffets sometimes, but I compare myself among ourselves at that time, so I'm not quite as bad. But overeating. They go in the washroom, they stick their finger in their mouth and bring it up and go and eat more. Overeating, that's sin. Sin as bad as taking drugs, as bad as drinking alcohol. You can check that out in Deuteronomy 21, 22, 2 to 21. The same condemnation, the drunkard or a glutton, again confirmed in Proverbs 23, 17 to 35. It says is in there the same. Don't envy the sinner this morning. They may be rich, they may eat whatever cherries they desire, but then the end coming, when the end is coming, what will it be? What is it going to be this morning? In verse 20 there, don't be in such company, the gluttonous, the drinkers. And to you young people and to all of you this morning, never take the first drink. Never take the first smoke, whatever. We have in our local Kitchener town, we can go down the street and young people will be offered free drugs. Friends, they're free for one time and it hooks you and you're on it for life were it not for the grace of God. Save yourself a lot of reaping young people from dabbling in the things that are in the desert. You think the cherries taste good, whatever the world offers, friends, say no to them. I drove a Mennonite man here a while back, and he said that we were talking about some of these things, and he said he never smoked. And I said, well, praise the Lord. My testimony isn't that glorious, you know. But I'm thankful for the grace of God. Yeah. Yeah. I said, this was a married man already. I said, wonderful. It blessed my soul because he doesn't have to reap those things. Mm-hmm. Say no to the first offer. Alcoholic drinks should not be named among us, neither overeating, which is a little bit harder to discern sometimes, I realize. You know, the results are devastating. As these following verses admonish us in the same chapter of Proverbs, it says, my son, the writer of Proverbs had a deep longing for those younger than him in the family, those siblings. He said, my son, my daughter, don't touch it. Don't touch it. If you want blessings from God, don't touch it. Number 8, it brings death. Death. Romans 6:28, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The things you're running for in the desert, the cherry trees you're looking for, you can put in whatever name you want. It only brings death. for the wages of sin is death. You know, if what you're laboring for is forbidden of the world, then your wages is death. And to every person this morning here, if you've been working, if you've been on getting wages and your boss pays you week after week and all of a sudden you want your paycheck, and the owner would say, come on with me, we'll go down to the funeral home. There you'll get it in the coffin. That's what it means from the wages is death. The things you find in the desert will produce death. That's serious. But we have to see that, the seriousness of it. You know, imagine working for your boss all this time, and that's your reward. That's what Satan is. If you're following the desert, the things in the desert, that's your reward. There's nothing else you can take with you. Sin is not a disease, but something that will keep you out of heaven. In Proverbs 1, 28-33, bear with me this morning here. In Proverbs 1. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, that they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Wonderful advice. It says, then shall they, and this is not referring to the birds anymore, because they, once they're dead, they're dead. It's referring to you and me this morning. They hated knowledge. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They hated counsel. They hated reproof. And it says there, they shall eat the fruit, the cherries that they had wanted and they had wished to have. And whatever means they took to get them, they accomplished. But what did they accomplish? Destruction, destruction. But then we come to the beautiful verse in verse 33. But whoso, whoever is sitting here this morning, it says, that's for you and me. He says, hearken unto the writer here. If you hearken unto God, you can dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. In a time as diverse as this, you can find peace, you can find rest from the turmoil. This world is becoming fearful. I mean, wake up, people. It's going downhill. It's going to get worse. We don't have to leave today in fear even because of that. No, we can have a joy this morning that as we walk with the Lord, he'll provide for us. Yes, he will. And we can go back to that promise also in Romans 6:23. I didn't finish that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a gift. You don't have to go to the funeral home for your reward. Some of us might end up there. I don't plan on it, but if that's where they take me in the end, okay. I'm looking for the upper taker. But friends, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that will satisfy you whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. Yes. And I trust that you can find yourselves in those circumstances this morning. And if not, then learn to taste and see that the Lord is good. is good. Far better than the cherries. Yeah. Far better than that. Shall we pause for prayer? How do you usually close here? Just pray, or shall I turn it over to you? Closing the song? Okay. Yeah. Have a numbering song.